Okay, this will work. Last we left in Israel, they had gotten together at Mitzvah, and they had come together in order to decide what to do with Beshevet Binyamin. And we're starting Perikov. By Yitzchok B'nai Yisrael, all of Am Yisrael came together, the entire congregation. Now, the Rambam points out wherever it says Ha'eda, that means that also the heads were there. Whenever we say the word Eda, it means those who are the heads of the Sanhedrin, the heads of the heads of leadership, right. Ki Shechot. They came together as one. We don ve'ar Beersheba, from Don to Beersheba, ve'eretz Hagilad, and the land of Gilad as well, El Hashem ba'mitzvah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mitzvah. Couple of things here. First of all, why do they all have to come together? So the Malbim says here that the reason why they all have to come together is because whenever you have to make a Rosh Hashanah, since there was no Plegish Begiva, there was no automatic death sentence. The Bnei Binyamin. They didn't do anything which is, makes them guilty of a capital crime. There was no asra ahead of time. There was no forewarning. They didn't actually kill her. She died on her own. But it was a disgusting, vile deed. So the thing is, if you want to punish Bnei Binyamin, it's a haras shah, a one-time, emergency ruling, which is necessary in order to do. We need a king, but there was no king. It seems like there was even no strong shofet at the time. Again, we don't know when Pelegish Begiva occurred, but throughout Pelegish Begiva, there's no shofet who makes an appearance before us. So therefore, it seems quite clear that Am Yisrael says the Malbim had to come together because in lieu of a king, you need the consent of the entire nation. It's either or. Either a king can make a rasha, or the entire nation together can make a rasha. And that's what we're stressing here, that they all came together because the entire nation's required. Malbim was a big Republican. He believed in the concept of a republic, which everybody comes together and acts as if they are a king in doing the things a king can do.
Do we have any other nail in this case?
There are, but they all escape me offhand.
Yes,
it would seem like it's a vote. Yes. The Malbim has to say. The Malbim
objects, that's enough to veto it?
Yeah. I don't know if one Shaman objects. No, we don't know what the rules are. But the Malbim, in a couple of places, makes this point. There's a major issue as to whether the Torah is pro democracy or pro monarchy. When the Torah says that there are, when the Torah says, Sotasim Alecha Melch, is that the optimum form of government? Or do I say, no, really, the optimum form of government is a democracy, it's just that normally a monarchy works better, works more efficiently, makes the trains run on time. So in any event, that's the Shaila, what exactly the optimum is of Judaism. The Malbim holds, like the Barbanel, that it's not that a monarchy is necessary, it's just that that would work, especially if you have a king like David HaMelech, but he believed in the concept of having a democracy as well. So they came El Hashem by Mitzvah. There is a question here, was there a divine presence already in Mitzvah, because they used to come there all the time for major conventions, or when they came together there, was the divine presence bestowed upon the congregation of Israel? Be that as it may, they came together all the corners of the nation. So all the Mepharshim say Pinos means the leaders. But the Malbim says a very interesting thing. I don't know where he got it from. Seems to have made it up. When they came together there, they camped in the same format that they camped in the desert. All the 12 Shvatim were arrayed, obviously, without Binyamin, in the same order they were arrayed in the Midbar. Why would they do such a thing? It's an interesting question. I believe that the reason why they might do such a thing, the Malbim doesn't address it, is because they left Mitzrayim in order not to be vile, base, corrupt people like the Egyptians. And the act of Shevet Binyamin harks back to an Egyptian type act. And therefore, it was symbolic. A repudiation of Binyamin was expressed in the fact that they were trying to bring home to bear the point that Yetzias Mitzrayim was to avoid such types of activities and behavior. Yeah, it could be a Simen HaBachlis as well. Right, this is a way that they came together.
So not for you building up the Golden Age.
Yeah, so there you have to say it's a nationalistic gesture in order to evoke the previous patriotism. That could be. Okay. Here it says, Kol Shivtei Yisrael, all the Shvatim Am Yisrael came together, Bikal Ambo Elohim, in the congregation of the nation of God, Arbab Yosef Elefish Ragli Sholev Cherev, 400,000 infantrymen who were bearers of sword. Now it's interesting here, it says, Kal Am Elohim. Not Am Hashem, Yukevavke, but Am Elohim. Obviously, that's because here they're about to exercise the Midas Hadin, judgment. They're going to render judgment upon Bnei Binyamin for the evils Binyamin had perpetrated. Vayishmu Bnei Binyamin kolu Bnei Yisrael mitzvah. The Binyaminites heard this. Vayom Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael said, Dabru, speak. Echon Yasar Roazos. How did this evil thing befall us? So, a couple of things here. Binyamin held or knew all about what was going on in Mitzvah. They decided they didn't want any part of it. They didn't want to come. They were given the option. They were invited. They were told, you want to present your side of the story and come along.
Yeah,
they didn't want to.
It's a hung jury. It's what? Not exactly.
No, but they didn't come to wage war. No, it was not a simple cheshbon. They came first to investigate. We'll see this, how the analysis develops.
They're afraid of each other.
Excuse me? They're afraid of each other, yeah. Vayomineso said, speak. Echon Yosaka Dorazos. Now, of course, the word Echo is a very significant word in Jewish history. Echo always symbolizes great sorrow, tragedy, something which went awry. And it starts, the first Echa in Torah is really not the word Echa, but rather Ayeka. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and asked Avraham Avinu, asked Adam HaRishon, Ayeka, where are you? And what really the portent of that question is, that what have you done? Here I made you in such a special and unique way, and you muffed it up so quickly and so badly. Ayeka means, where are you?
You know,
you're not where you ought to be. That's right.
Where I intend.
The Eliezer Berkowitz, one of our controversial Skokie professors, used to say that the proper question for about the Holocaust is not where was God, but rather where was man. And that was his response to the Holocaust. So, without that judgment on the Eliezer Berkowitz, I think that that's a valid point to be made. And I think that here, too, the same point with Adam HaRishon was being made. Where are you? What's going on? What have you done wrong? And that, therefore, throughout history, also becomes the word which connotes to us a failure of mankind. Ayeka, Echo, how did it go wrong? Where are you? How did it go wrong? This harks back to Adam HaRishon's first failing. And also, of course, used by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say, when he's confronted with all the shortcomings and sniping and bickering among Am Yisrael, there too he says, Echa. So the word Echa appears 17 times in Tanakh. It's a nice gematria. 17 times is Tov. Gematria of 17 is Tov. The antithesis of Tov is Echa, the opposite of Tov. The gematria of the word Echa itself is 36. And I want to talk about that for a moment because I had an interesting insight into this. 36 is a very significant number. Where's 36 significant? Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Where did Lamed Vav Tzadikim come from? Why 36? I didn't realize it until this morning either. 36 is an interesting number. 36 is the majority of the Sanhedrin. We just had this recently in Baba Basra. It says that after Yericho, when they came to Ai, and Ochon was Moel in the Cherem, he took illicitly from the Cherem. So it says that 36 people, Kishloshim v'sheish anoshim noflu at Ai. Like 36 people. The Gemara asks in Machlokas, does it mean literally 36? Or does it mean one person who was like 36? Yair ben Menashe. was Shokul Kiruba Shel Sanhedrin. He was like the majority of the Sanhedrin. He was so high in stature. And he was the one guy who was killed. Because that's Kish Loshim Mesheshish. Somebody who's like 36 people. So it's an interesting thing. So the number 36 is linked to the majority of Sanhedrin. And the Pashtus, although I can't tell you for sure, that's where the 36 Tzadikim come from. The majority that we know that in Sanhedrin, majority rules. The bare minimum of majority is 36. The Lamed Vav Tzadikim are the majority of the Sanhedrin, which are supposed to direct the world. When these Tzadikim, whether they're 36 or what it was like 36 or more than 36, fail in their mission, that's called Ayeka, Eicha, a shortcoming. And in fact, in this Perek, we have the famous Yalkut Shmoni, which I've quoted you several times, which says that in the course of this Perek, 70,000 people will be killed. Who killed these 70,000 people? The Yalkut Shmoni says, the Sanhedrin. Because the Sanhedrin should have gone around from city to city, from place to place, and taught people Torah, and taught them Derech Eretz, and rebuked them when they did wrong. But instead, each member of the Sanhedrin sat back under his palm tree and under his grapevine and said, as long as I have time to sit and learn, I'm fine and dandy. I don't care about everybody else. That's their problem. Then the Yalkut ends up and says, Ebor me'ata, who killed the 70,000 people in Pilegus Bargiva? The Sanhedrin, which didn't go out and do the right thing. In fact, the next Shofet, who's the next Shofet after Sefer Shoftim? Actually, not the next one, sorry. Shmuel. He's not the next Shofet. Eli is the next one. But Shmuel, that taka was what he did. What he did, he was an itinerant preacher. He went from town to town teaching Torah. That was exactly the way he conducted himself, because he learned the lesson not to behave like was behaved in the time of Shofet. So in any event, Eicha is 36. It could also fail you with the Ruba Shel Sanhedrin. And in fact, the Ruba Shel Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin itself, was, the Yalkut Shmoni says, at fault for this episode of Pilegus Bargiva, not having taught people how to conduct their lives properly. Alright. Vayada Isha Levi. Pasuk down. The Levi got up and said, Isha, Isha, and Yitzchak. The husband, well, a husband would be a bow, but as though, whatever you call the male component of the concubine relationship. Vayomar, and he said, Hagivasa shel binyamin basi. I came to give you a giver which is in binyamin. Adiu pilag shilolun. I am my pilegish to sleep over. Now, this Levi, he embellishes. You'll see. He embellishes the story. And had Binyamin themselves come, they might have been able to prove that they were not as guilty as it sounded. They didn't come, and therefore the Levi got to tell over the account as he pleased. The first thing, he said, we came Lolun. We came to look for lodgings. And they didn't take us in, obviously. But that's not true. We know they came very late at night. They tried to push on. Yeah, they tried to push on, but they gave up because it came completely dark. They came too late. Maybe had they come a little bit earlier, it wouldn't have been so hard for them to get a place to sleep. It really was the fact that they came so late which perhaps led them into this situation. Next, Pasuk Hey, Vakimolai Bale Agiva. The people of Giva rose up against me. It's not true. Doesn't say that anywhere. There was never any personal attack on him. They negotiated with him. Vayasubalai Sabais Lila. They surrounded the house which I was in at night. Okay, that's true. They did surround the house. But Lila implies that they tried to surprise him. In other words, they waited furtively till nightfall, and then they came and they surrounded the house. But A, he only came at night. It wasn't that they waited for nightfall. B, they didn't try and attack him by surprise. They knocked on the door and asked, can he come out? So it wasn't as bad as he makes it out. Besides that, he says, Osi Dimu Larok. They thought to kill me. They didn't think to kill him. They wanted to have him for illicit activity, but they didn't think to kill him. Furthermore, Vespilakshi Inu Vatamos, my concubine, they afflicted and she died. Well, it wasn't exactly what happened. It says the last pasuk that they didn't torture her, as Inu would imply. They just had their way with her throughout the night. And at the end of the night, she crawled home and died on the doorstep. But really, he was also culpable for that. He should have gotten up and opened the door, tried to get her in earlier. Instead, he obviously went to sleep and waited until the morning to open the door.
That doesn't negate
the Inu
in the sense of that it was a gang rape.
That's true, but the granted, the pasuk though says in the previous parak, Vais Alulu. Vais Alulu is not as severe as Inu.
In Kol HaKavod, you never know it.
Oh,
and
of course.
From the attacker's standpoint,
come on.
Who he was perversing.
Yeah, obviously, look, the pasuk itself says, I grant you, the pasuk itself says, no, the pasuk itself says in pasuk, which pasuk was that? Vav, Dalit. It says in Yitzchak, she was murdered. That's before the lady starts speaking. So the pasuk itself condemns Binyamin. They're certainly condemnable people. However, he does embellish the story. That's the point I'm making. Story is not as bad as he made it out to be. Be that as it may, I grabbed my pilegish, I cut her into pieces, and I sent her pieces all over the fields of the portions of Am Yisrael. Kiyosu zima, because they did a repulsive, illicit thing, unavala, and they made a great chilul Hashem in all of Am Yisrael, Ubi Yisrael. Hinei kulchem b'nei Yisrael. Here you are, all of you, b'nei Yisrael. Havu lachem davar. Here, give a psak halacha, what to do. Ve'itzah, and a council, how to go about executing the psak halacha. Halom, here and now. In other words, what should we do? So, the Malbimir stresses again that Hinei Kulchem means that since you're all here together, therefore you have the halacha of a king, you can do as you please and make your rasha. The Matunas points out B'nai Yisrael means he's trying to appeal to their refinement as being Jews and telling them how can we tolerate such base and corrupt behavior within the Jewish people. Yeah. That's my point. He wasn't exactly the greatest guy in the world either. But since Binyamin was so haughty that they stayed away, there's nothing they could do about it.
This reinforces time your character assassination.
Who am I assassinating?
The negative side.
Bnei Binyamin assassinating.
Gloss over, right?
Yeah.
Halom. Halom also has the meaning, the shodesh is mahaluma.
Yeah.
In other words, he's not just saying, presenting the case objectively and saying, now I leave it to you. To your verdict. He's actually exciting. By halom,
right.
In the sense of the halom b'hem, I'm recommending that you pound them.
Right. Halom, you want to say, it means to give an aid, so to be holame them and actually wage war against them. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Certainly, he's demanding action. I mean, halom doesn't mean let's all make peace and try to be makari of them. It means let's get down to brass tacks and kill them all. So all of the nations stood up like one person, Lamor, and they said, we will not go back to our tents, and not even, not permanently, nor even for a visit. Rather, this is the thing which we'll do. La Giva, we'll go up to the Giva, to where the Binyaminites are, or lay upon her, the Goro, based on a lottery. How, what was the lottery determined? We'll take 10% of ourselves, 10 people out of 100, for all our shvatim. We'll mail elef, which is 100 for 1,000, vel v'rvav, and 1,000 for 10,000. They'll be the supply sergeants. They'll bring the supplies for the nation. In order to do what we have to do, to bring upon the hill of Binyamin, retribution for all the disgusting things, I shall also be so, which they did in Am Yisrael. What? Why do I have to go through what?
The percentages. So,
this person, I don't know why we have to do that. It's an interesting question.
It's a collective issue that everybody has a share in it, and nobody is exempt from it.
Could be. In other words, just tell us that the 10% are also part of the army. The 10% who went back to form the supplies, they're also part of this activity. It has to be, everybody has to be involved in Mikason Vahar Gadol in order to try and counteract this terrible thing which happened. By Yosef Kol Ish Yisrael El Ha'ir, all of Am Yisrael came together to the city, to the to Mitzvah. Chavirim. They all came together. Kisha Chavirim. Like one person, all friends. It's interesting, Losh here, each Yisrael Chavirim, you know, we very rarely in Tanakh that Am Yisrael is called Chavirim. Like we say in Kiddush HaChodesh, Chavirim Kol Yisrael. So in any event, it's possible to say that this is the first mass national cohesion. Beforehand, the Sefer Shoftim, we certainly didn't find them all getting together to do anything. No matter how great the war is, there are always Shvatim who sat it out, as Shir Dvorah noted in her Shira. This is the first time we have masses coming together as one, so to speak, in order to wage the war on behalf of all of Am Yisrael. This is a very, very seminal event in Jewish history. Perhaps that's why it's one of the reasons why it's put at the end of the Sefer, because Ein Melech Blo Am. There cannot be a king without a nation. When they become a nation as opposed to the assortment of tribes, it took Pelegish Begiva in order to bring that about.
It exactly made the sense of Chavirim, this solidarity, didn't exactly maintain itself.
Well, it depends when it happened. Depends when it happened. If it happened at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, you're right, it didn't maintain itself.
And even if it happened at the end?
Well, shortly thereafter they got a king.
There was divisiveness and it was again based upon...
Well, of course it didn't happen overnight, but it was obviously then the king didn't become much more... Obviously, but not as much as before. Not as much as before. Okay. Vayishlachu shivtei Yisrael anoshim. So the tribes of Israel send people. V'chol shivtei Binyamin. In all the tribes of Binyamin, the Binyaminites were so powerful that even their families, even their internal clans were called Shvatim. Lamor, to say, Mahara azosa sheni asabachem. What is this terrible deed which happened among you? Vatoa now to us anoshi b'nei b'liyal. Give us the people who are b'nei b'liyal, the few people who did this. Give them to us. The ones that try to give us, we will kill them. When the Vara Muram Yisrael, we will eradicate the evil from Am Yisrael. And Binyamin refused Lishmoa B'Kolachayim B'nei Yisrael to listen to their fellow Jews. Now it's interesting, a couple of things here. First of all, I forgot to mention this before, but in Pasuk... In Pasuk K, then the Levi says, Bale Agiva, which seem to be the noblemen, the finest people in Giva, they're the ones who got up against me and killed my Pelegish. We know that's not true. We know the few B'nai Bliyal, a few ruffians. And really, here the Pasuk identifies them as such and says that the rest of the tribes demanded that these ruffians be turned over. Not anybody else. Another interesting thing in this pasuk is that there's no B'nai in B'nai Binyamin. Why do you think that was taken out? I don't know either. None of the questions say. But it could be that it's not there because we want to emphasize the fact that they were not B'nai Binyamin in the same context as B'nai Yisrael. In other words, they were not a tribe as part of the nation, but rather they had separated themselves from the nation. So the parallel which would have been, how do we say B'nai Binyamin and B'nai Yisrael, is missing in order to indicate to us that B'nai Binyamin had separated themselves and were not part of the rest of B'nai Yisrael. Maybe. Yes. No, the vowels are there only in the Tanakh, only in the printed Tanakh. in the clap, you wouldn't have the vowels either. You just have a space. So the Baal Kerei knows to read it. In all in Malachim Moshim, it's like that. Even though the Tzeev is incorrect, they leave in the Kri, so the Baal Kerei knows what to do. Okay. Vayasu b'nei binyamin yudalet. Vayasu b'nei binyamin min harim hagivasa. The Binyaminites, they ignored the rest of the Jews. They came to give up. Let's say some Lechom in Israel to go out to war with the other Jews. Vayispaktu b'nei binyamin, and then b'nei binyamin enumerated themselves. Vayomu, and that day, mi'arim, whoever came from the cities, esrim v'shisha elef ish, shalev charev, 26,000 bearers of sword. Levad b'yesh v'gila, besides we live in Gila. In Gila, Giva, I'm sorry. In Giva alone, me'haspaktu, he spoke to Shvamios Ishbachur. There were 700 exemplary people in Giva. What did they do? These people, Mikol Amazeh Shvamios Ishbachur, were the 700 from all the nation, were the best chosen and special people. Iter Yadimino, their right hands didn't function. They, however, with their left hands, Kozer Koleb Evan, they could hit with a stone and a catapult, El Asara, a hair, which was a few feet or a few yards away, I guess, whatever. Lo Yachti, and they would have missed their target. Why the Iter Yad, you mean? What's the symbolism of the fact that they have no power in the right hand? What? The name is Binyamin, right. So why not now? Why don't they have the power of the right if their name is Binyamin? They're not acting like the original Binyamin. They, their right hand midah is not functioning. What's a right hand midah as opposed to left hand midah? Out, yeah. Chesed. Abbas Yisrael. Does the B'nai Binyamin demonstrate either of those? Certainly not. That's why they're expressed, or they're rather given the term, Iter Yad Yimini, on a symbolic level at least, that their right hands were not functioning. Vishisol Asbukdu Levi Binyamin. On the other side of the battlefield, the people of Amisol were counted, besides Binyamin. It was not part of the count, obviously. Arbamios Elapish, there are 400,000 men. Sholev Cherev, who drew swords. Kozish Mechama, all these were experienced men of war. Vayakumi Vayalu Base El. Now a very interesting thing happens. They get up and they go to Base El, which we assume is the Mishkan. All the Mepharshim have problems with this because the Mishkan was never in Base El. Mishkan was in Shiloh and Nov, Yerushalayim, perhaps at the end of the period, but it was never in Beis El. Beis El is north of Yerushalayim; it's totally out of the path of the Aron, where the Aron was given back from the Plishtim, where the Aron was taken by Plishtim. It wasn't the right spot. So the Rabbah says Beis El is a euphemism; it really means the Mishkan. You have that there. So
who
says that? Radak later on says that. Radak later on says, like you said, that it harks back to Yaakov Avinu. Well, the way it harks back to Yaakov Avinu, obviously, is that Yaakov Avinu Beis El took 12 stones and they became one. What's happening to those 12 stones here again? Gazel to Binyamin, they're falling apart. So that
they're going to be re-cemented.
Now they're going to be cemented with blood. Right. Right. So in any event, that they went up to Beis El, whether it's the actual city or somewhere else, where the mission.
I think they were very conscious of how ominous this was in terms of the Akkadimis alone, and that they felt they had no alternative.
They had no alternative, right? So yes, obviously this whole thing was very weighty. Vayakumu Vayalu Beis El. They came to Beisel by Shalu Be'elu Elokim. They asked the Kosh Baruch through the Umim and Tumim. By Yomer Neisom Neisom said, Mi Alei Lona B'tchil HaMilchom, but we'll go up first to war. Imen Ebenyamin with the Benyaminites. Yomer Hashem Yehuda Yahweh, HaKosh Baruch said, Yehuda Shkawa. So,
a little incongruous. I was interesting about this Perush that says that they arrayed themselves the way they had been in the Midbar.
Yeah.
Well, in the Midbar there was a marching order.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why did they have to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask who would be first? Yehuda was, as I recall, in terms of the Midbar.
Yeah, Yehuda came
Yehuda
first.
Was the Chod HaFani.
Right. But obviously they felt here that they need to ask if they're going to be successful in war. Once they ask that, they ask who should go first to wage the war. It's going to be critical that they ask the question because it's not going
to
come out right for them. Third time. So in any event, Kosh Baruch tells them Yehuda should go up, Batchila. But it doesn't say whether he's going to win or lose. Now how did the Urim Tumim work? You remember how they worked? The flashing lights, right. There are flashing lights or the letters would stick up, the letters which were part and parcel of the answer. But it didn't work for everybody. You had to have a sizable amount of Ruach HaKodesh to decide and determine what exactly was going on there. So, be that as it may, they didn't have it. They didn't have that Ruach HaKodesh then. And they didn't ask the right question. And therefore, what happens next happens. Vayakum uvnei Yisrael b'boker, the Ebnei Yisrael got up in the morning. Vayachanu al Giva, and they encamped against Giva. Vayetzei Yisrael milchom b'Binyamin, and the Jews went out to wage war with Binyamin. Vayarchu itam Yisrael milchom al Giva, and the Jews waged a frontal attack on Giva. Yet what happened then? Vayetzu b'nei Binyamin min Giva. The Binyaminites, I guess they saw they had no choice. They forged their head out of the Giva. They fought very, very mightily. Vayashchisu b'Yisrael b'yamo b'yomu. Shisim v'esu. Shishlayim v'esrim elef. Ish arzo. They cast down, in other words, they killed 22,000 people. Well, 22,000 is also a significant number. Where did 22,000 come from? In this configuration, in thousands, where is it significant to us? We had it once before. By Gideon, we mentioned it. That Eina Shechina Shoreh B'Pachos Mishnei Rivavos Shnei Alafim Yisrael. The Shechina, the Divine Presence, is not among the Jewish people unless there are 22,000 Jews, which is 1,000 times the Yahweh base. And Chazal say, why were they beaten back this first time? What? Yes, for committing idolatries. Which idolatry specifically? Are they beaten back? Which idolatry are they just committed? Pesel Micha. Zeva Goshbo said, Ah, Chutzpah. You're going to come to be Mekana. You're covered. What about my covered? You over there, but is there you? Yeah, go up. But you see, wait, what happens? Akash Baruch Hu sent the signal by smiting 22,000, which is sheer in which Shechina appears, or Shechina is manifest.
Where was all this unity in this Ruach HaKodesh?
When it came to Pesel Micha, yeah. That's right. Vayitzchazek Ha'am Ish Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Jews regrouped, the rest of Yisrael regrouped. And they made war again. In the same place they made it the first day. And the second time Israel went up. And they cried before God. Until the evening. And they asked Kosh Baruch Hu, saying the following. Should I go again? Wage war with the children of Binyamin, my brother. By Yomer Hashem, Hashem said, Alu Elov, go up to him. By Kribu Bnei Yisrael Bnei Binyamin, by Yomer Sheni. And Bnei Yisrael went to Binyamin on the second day as well. So a couple things here before many people lose their lives. A, when they went up the second time, the Maom points out they also didn't go out of Tshuva. They were Baicha, they were sorrowful that so many people fell the first time, but were they doing Tshuva? Were they Shavu HaKosh Baruch Hu B'chol Libam as required of a Tainis? They didn't do the right thing. So therefore, says the Malvim, that's why they were punished. Because Pesel Micha, they didn't eradicate. When they got the first sign, they should have done tshuva. They didn't even do tshuva. So since they didn't do tshuva, therefore they weren't answered properly. Also, he wanted to point out the Malbim that here, by Uvin Esav Yivku Uznei Hashem, clearly wasn't everybody. Because in the next pasuk in Chav Dalet, it says that someday Binyamin Bnei Yisrael went ahead to Binyamin. So all right, maybe you can say that. Nonetheless, the pasuk is talking about that they all went back to the mitzvah and then they came back again very quickly. But the Malbim draws a distinction also between pasuk Chav Vav and this pasuk in order to make his point, which we'll see in a minute. Let's do pasuk Chav Hei first. The first day it says about Binyamin that all Vayetzu Bnei Binyamin, they went out. That's the Pasuk Chabal. Here it says Vayetzu Binyamin Likrosam. He went out to greet them because they were very confident from the first day already. So they said, oh, we killed 22,000 of them yesterday, we'll commit the same carnage today. So therefore they didn't wait till the Jews got close, they just charged out. They destroyed him. So Ochmanasar Elif, another 18,000 each. Arta El Kol Elu Shovelcher. All of those were bearers of the sword. So an interesting thing is that we have here the number of 18,000. 18,000 appears one more time in Tanakh, at least that I know of. I'm sure it's more than that, but it's one place in Yecheskel Mem Ches Lamadalet, and there it says that 18,000 midah is the measurement of the circumference of Yerushalayim's perimeter per perimeter in the world to come. So it's an interesting thing. What really is going on here is that the first time they were told they have no Shekhinah in the form of peoplehood, because they don't have 22 people in an Ezekiel, and the first time they were told in
I lost my train of thought.
The 22,000. First time they were told 22,000 that they don't have the achdus to create an Am Yisrael. The second time they were told that even on a lesser level, even the level of Kedusha manifests in Yerushalayim, a holy place. I don't know if it's a lesser level. It's a different message. Let's try it this way. The first message was, you know, the 22,000 people who are the Achdus and Amisol to create divine presence. The second time they were told, and they don't have the place to create the divine presence either. They thought they're coming to Mitzvah. Mitzvah is a holy place. They're going to get close to God. Wow, they're going to kill Binyamin as a result. Because Baruch was saying, you have neither the capacity as a nation, because after all, they were rife with idolatry, and it takes, you know, terrible inter-shaven relationships for something like Pilegish Begiva to happen. So they're say you don't have the achdus which is required in order to really bring about a Kiddush Hashem, in order to bring about divine presence. And the second time it says they're being told you don't have the place, you don't have the makom, you don't have a holy place either. You are lacking in the substance which is necessary to make achdus and to make Kedusha. Okay, well, now they're really stuck. So now we say, Vayalu Kol Bnei Yisrael. Now all the Jews went up.
Okay.
Before it said Vayalu Kol Bnei Yisrael. Before it said Vayalu Bnei Yisrael in Chav Gimel. Now it says Vayalu Kol Bnei Yisrael. And now the Kol Am. Pashtus before it was Bnei Yisrael, some of the leaders. Now it's called Bnei Yisrael, all the leaders, V'cholam, and everybody, all the nation.
You could argue that actually took place before, even though it's the same. Pasuk Chav.
Yeah.
They say Ish Yisrael. And we know from other places in the Chumash.
Yeah.
Ish, Muvan Zashem Shelachnu.
Ki Ish Echad, yes. So before they were Meuchad, but it doesn't say that when they came back to Davin altogether as well. You're right, it's a good Diyach and Chav that where they were as one, they were Meuchad for the war. But never says that they came back with the same level of Achdus in order to Davin. So now Pasuk Chav Vav, we're stressing, by Luchom Menes of Cholam, all of them in entirety. Nobody stayed out in the battlefield, they all came back. By Avo Beisel, they came Beisel, by Yivku, and they cried, by Yeshu Shamlifnei Hashem, they didn't just cry. The first time says Mali, they're crying upon the casualties. Now they're crying and they're being far distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayatzumu. And introduces another factor. They fasted. That's every time there's a tzom, it shows mass tshuva. And you know, this seems to indicate the pesel that Pileg HaShmegiva was late. Because seems like finally Am Yisrael is getting along and realizing, hey, something terrible is happening here. 40,000 of us have just been killed. One-tenth. Bear that in mind. They started 400,000. One-tenth of all of them have been killed in 2 days. 22, then 18. So they finally realize something terribly bad is going on here. Something for which mass tshuva is necessary. And that would be a fitting note on which to end the period of the Shoftim. But I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not true. They fasted that day till nightfall. Vayalu olos, and they sacrificed korbanos, olos, or shlomim lifnei Hashem. Yeah, this is where the Radak, you also discussed the length where the base sale was Shiloh, not Shiloh. Alright. Now they came to ask again. And that was where the Aron Bris Elohim was. Now again, here the Radak says, he's not sure if the Aron was there just for this excursion, or the Aron was always there. That depends if it was really base sale or was Shiloh. Not so important for us. But what's important for us is Pasuk Chav Ches. Guess who comes back again now? Our hero. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. Omer lefanav bayomim ha'im. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron was Kohen Gadol at that point before the Aaron. Lamor. And now they had Pinchas. So Pinchas was involved here. Now here the Malvin points out, the Radak points out, that there was a need for Ruach HaKodesh to interpret the Urim V'Tumim. It wasn't easy to interpret it, to ask properly, to get those things to light up, to interpret it properly. So the first couple of times they didn't have the proper Koyin in there. They needed Pinchas. Now they finally got Pinchas. And now it could work. Now they could have. Now also they knew how to ask the question properly. Look at this. It says, you have to ask both sides of the question when you ask Urim V'Tumim. Should I go or should I not go? If you only ask one side, you run the risk of getting the wrong answer. Bear in mind, what were the Urim V'Tumim? They were just letters which lit up. It was not a nevuah, it was not a prophecy. You needed a divine spirit to do it. It wasn't a prophecy, so therefore, unless you were very exact in your question, you might be getting the wrong answer. Right. It only gives you the answer instead of the input, right. So in any event, it's a binary system, yes, very good. So in any event, be that as it may, the thing is, Pinchas is obviously here for another reason. Because Pinchas' act is the same act as Pileg HaShmegiva. Pinchas also, as a result of a licentious activity, went out and killed another Shevet, Shevet Shimon in that case, in order to return Brisi Sholom, in order to return Achdus between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pinchas is the one who brought that about the first time. Well, I don't know if he ends his career, but depends if he's Elio or not. But yes, this stage, yes. So there really is, in my opinion, he was here not just as the functionary Kohen, but to teach them, Rabbi Sai. It seems to be mutually exclusive. At the same time you're waging war, and at the same time you're bringing about a brief shalom, peace between Am Yisrael Kadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael among themselves, I'll show you how it's done. There's a certain way of doing it with the right intent, l'shem shamayim, and that's what Pinchas is here to teach them. And it's an interesting thing because both in the last question and in this question, there's a stress of Binyamin Achi. They still regarded Binyamin as being Achi. They wanted to restore the Achva. Whether it worked or didn't work is another question. But there was this concept of Achi. In any event, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says, Alu, go up. Kimacha and Edeb Yodech, tomorrow I'm going to deliver them into your hands. No questions here. Vayosei Mitzvah Orvim Malagiva Savim. But so Amitzvah laid an ambush on the hill around. That was an interesting thing. Here they got a Haftocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, they finally started strategic planning as well.
So you're saying, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, right. Very good thing. Yeah, is that actually a colloquial...
The British
say that? So, so even though you have the Brahma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to make your Ishtablus. That's what's really going on here. So they made an ambush. How did the ambush work? The truth is I should have brought magic markers to show you this. But name it. To show you the ambush. Hold on a second. What happened was like this. They made an ambush all around. This is on the third day. There's going to be a lot of repetition back and forth here. Thank you. Okay, let me draw this. Take my mic with me here. What happened was that the
this cassette could be used in the national workout.
Yeah. What happened was that here was Giva. And the main camp of Bnei Yisrael was up here, to the north. This is where the main camp of the 400,000 was. Minus 40, whatever it is. Giva was down here. The Binyaminites went out towards the main camp to wage battle as they had done previously. They went up like that. And this time, of course, they ran out. Like we said, they went quickly out of the city because they were confident. Huntuku min ha'ir. They got cut off from behind the Bnei Binyamin. It's a big mistake. They didn't protect their rear.
The big mistake was repeating the same strategy that had used before
to lead them out. Right. That's right. That's good. Keep the pattern going. Chalolim, kapam bapam. They started killing the main camp like they did previously. Bamasilos in the pathways. Asher achos oila base L, one of which went up to base L. Vachas kivasa. In other words, right here there was kind of a path. The path went in both directions. Base L was up here, towards the north. And here there was a path, probably kind of a valley, from which there was one path which went up to Giva, another which went to base El. And here in the middle was where they waged the war, and they killed about 30 of the other Shvatim. 30 people were killed over here. Now, in the meantime, Bayom Bnei Binyamin, the people of Binyamin said, "Ah, Nigafi Meim Fanei Karishona, they're getting beat back from us like they were originally." Bnei Yisrael Amru, but Bnei Yisrael had meant this as a tactic. Nanusa, we're going to run away. Unisaknu mina ear, and we're going to cut off the Binyaminites from the city El Amasilos, and they're going to get stuck in the paths. And all of Am Yisrael then got up from where they were. And they started making like they were fleeing at first. They were fleeing away north. But then there was a time, and we're going to learn greater detail later in the parak when this happened, when they turned around. And they waged war in a place, which was probably somewhere around here, called Baal Tamar. That's where the main battle was joined, where they came back and started fighting.
known as a classic diversionary
text. So, diversionary text. Well, obviously, it sounds classic. Vorev Yisrael, in the meantime, an ambush of Am Yisrael came west. Megiach, they came down, Mimkomo, from its place, Mimara Geva, from where the Geva River flowed out. Mare doesn't mean cave here, but rather Irui, from where Mare Geva, from where the Geva River flew out. So there was an ambush here to the west, which started coming down this way into the city. The city was empty right now. Now they came to get them there. Now, before we go further, I just want to point out here the symbolism of the name. Where were they caught? They're caught in Baal Tamar. Why is it called Baal Tamar? We know Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach Ke'erez Balvona and Yizke. And the Chazal say, well, why a Tamar? I mean, so it's likened to a Tamar. Why? Because a Tamar has one stalk and one heart, the heart of palm, and as though there's only one heart in the palm. I don't know what a heart of palm is, but heart of, I know you can buy it in a can and milk fail. And there it says that a Tamar has one stalk, one trunk, and one heart. And Kach Yisrael are supposed to have Lev Echod Laviyim Shevashamayim, only one heart to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Well, we know Binyamin's failure was in the area of Tzidkus. So you channel their drives towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like a Tamar grows straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should have been like Yosef HaTzadik, directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rebuke of Binyamin and their downfall happened at a place called Baal Tamar to rebuke them for not being like the Tamar, not being Tzadikim, not using the Mida. Reb Tzadik says that the Tamar is the last of the Shiva Saminim. Eretz Chitau, Sarav, Gevin, Teinav, Rimon, Eretz, Shemen, Udvash. Dvash is Dvash Tmorim. It's not bee honey. It's date honey. And Dvash therefore represents the last of the Shiva Midos, which is Malchus. Malchus Shamayim. They should have used Malchus Shamayim, of course, by Yom Yemein Melech B'Yisrael. They didn't have Malchus Shamayim, but that's what they should have had, and the Tamar represents that, but Binyamin didn't lack that direction.
Alternatively, going back to the Kosh Baruch Hu says Yehuda,
yeah.
The Baal Tamar is Yehuda.
Baal Tamar is very good, yeah. Baal Tamar is Yehuda. Actually, it's very good. This is Yehuda's first act of leading Am Yisrael. That's a very good chap, right? Yehuda was told to go up. Actually, the first two times wasn't successful because of Pesach Micha, but Yehuda was the one who led. This is Yehuda's first act of kingship, and it's happening in a case called Baal Tamar, harking back to the first Tamar with Yehuda. Very good. Okay, so so here in Mare Geva there were 10,000, but they were Bachur, they were the elite, they were the Tanchanim, the paratroopers. So they came. In the meantime, Baal Tamar, the war was very heavy. And the people of Midyamin didn't know that the evil is they're being outflanked from the back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Midyamin before Bnei Yisrael. And Am Yisrael destroyed that day in Binyamin. 25,100 infantry men were killed. So Binyamin started out with 26,700, and on this day they lost 25,100.
What happened the first 2 days?
That's what the Mepharshim point out later on. Right. Mepharshim say there's a difference of 1,600, right? And we're going to find at the end of the war there are going to be 600 Binyaminites left. So Mepharshim say the 1,000 were either killed. They either were killed in the first 2 days of battle, like you said, or there's a medrash which says they ran away to Romania. The Radak says Romania. The Rashi says they ran away to Rome. But in any event, to Rome, Romania. So be that as it may, some people say they made Yerida as a result of this war here. Okay? In the meantime, we go back now. That was kind of a synopsis. Vayiru b'nei binyamin ki negafu. Bnei Binyamin saw that they were being killed. Vaynu Ishi saw Mokel Binyamin, and that because the Jews had allowed Binyamin to be outsmarted, or rather they had put room to outsmart them, because the other Jews were sure of the ambush which they had left in the Giva. Which they had left here to ambush Giva from the back. This ambush came quickly. Then they spread down to Giva. And the Orev, when they came down, they smote the entire city by sword. Men, women, and children, I don't think there are any men left in the city, but women and children, like an ir hanidachas. They killed every single soul in the city. Now we go back. This is all synopsis. Now we're giving a little bit more description of what went on in the war. How did this work exactly? We're teaching a strategy, so you should know how to do this in the future. They had made a predetermined plan. Ima Orev with the ambush. They're going to turn around and fight with their swords when they see Mas Asa Shon Meir smoke rising from the city. So what happened was, again, we're backtracking, starting again from the beginning. First time Israel made as if the main body made as if they were losing. And the Binyamin started killing people in Am Yisrael. And there were kishtoshimish, like 30 casualties. And Binyamin got confident because they said, Achni gofni gofu lefanedu. They're falling before us. Like the first war where they fell. But then what happened was Vamaseis Haychol Alos Minair Amura Ashan. The Maseis, the smoke started coming from the city. Vaifem Biyamin Akharav, and Biyamin looked behind them while they were fighting here in Baal Tamar. Vine Olochil Ayir Ashamayim, but the city was going up in smoke to the heavens. Vishi Solavach, and now the main army turned around. Vaiboyel Ish Binyamin, and the Binyaminites were very afraid. Ki Ra Kinoga Lava Ra, because they saw that was it. Now the Malvim says, I'm not sure exactly how he gets it, but there was another ambush here in the south. Somehow or another he found in these psukim another ambush in the south. So Binyamin had only one way out. They couldn't go north, they couldn't go west, they couldn't go south, they had to go this way, east. And that was called Derech HaMidbar. Binyamin, those are the ones who stayed. Vayignu Yisrael, and they turned away from the Jews. Now Derech HaMidbar, Vamilchama Hidbikasu. The war caught up with them. Vashem Me'arim, and the people who were in the cities, the ambush had entered the cities, but Mashkisin, they were killing not just in Giva, but all the other cities of Binyamin, they're Mashkisin also Besocho. And now the Pasuk says, Kitru es Binyamin, they surrounded Binyamin like a Keter, here dear Fu, they caused him to flee. Minuchoy Jehu, they ruined all its places of rest, they killed out all the cities. Anocha Chagiva, until opposite Giva, Mizrach HaShemesh, they forced them to flee this way, and were destroying everything, women and children, in the path, in all the cities behind them. Vayiplumi Binyamin, and from Binyamin they fell in three stages. First of all, Shmonasar Elfish, Eskolel Anshi Choyl. First, here in Baal Tomer, 18,000 Binyaminites were killed. Vayiplumi Vaynusa Midbara, and then they turned and they ran to the Midbar, El Sela Harimon, to Sela Harimon, the pomegranate stone. I'll tell you next week why that's significant. Vayalu Bamisilos, they tortured them there, on the paths leading eastward, Chamesha Salafim Ish, and they killed another 5,000. Vayad Bikra Akrav Agidom, and they pursued them to a city called Gidom. Vayuk Yakum Imenu Apayim Ish, and another 2,000 were killed there. Vayuka Noflim Bin Yomim, and altogether, rounded off from Bin Yomim, killed that day, Esrim Chamisha Elef Ish. 25,000 people, Sholim Kerev, Bayomahu, as Kole Lehan Shechoyel, 25,000 men warriors were killed. So again, the Mepharshim say, hi, we said before 25,100. So some Mepharshim say the 100 got lost in the count. The other Mepharshim says, Rashi says, the 100 were the ones who went through Romania. 1,000 were killed in the first 2 days, and 100 guys went through Romania. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll finish the parak next week.